Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Melanie C. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Tuesday, April 13th, 2021, and this is a 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book study meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book. We're in the chapter We Agnostics. We're on page 50 today, going to unpack paragraph 2, and it begins with, in our personal stories, referring to the stories in the back of the book, and ends with, for each individual to settle for himself. Today's readers are The 12 Steps, Audrey M.P., The 12 Traditions, Anna S., reading the script today, this paragraph today, rather, and support is Dana P., Leslie M., Kara L. Reading newcomers today would be Mary B., and finishing up today with some brilliant announcements would be Robin P. So stay to the clear end, if you would, please. The share ID numbers for yesterday, it would be Monday, April 12th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study Meeting is 16749, 16,749. And then this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study Meeting, that would be for Tuesday, April 13th, the share ID number, 16753, 16,753. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA for those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Audrey M.P. to please read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Audrey M.P., a quick star one, please, if you don't mind. In the interest of time, Dana, I'm sorry, Kara L., would you please step in for that one?
I can read it.
Sure.
Thank you so much.
Melanie, this is Kara L. 12 steps, correct? So.
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay. One. We admitted we were powerless for food, and our lives had become unmanageable, too. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except for when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for the knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs.
Thank you very much, Kara L., for stepping in there. I will now ask Anna S. to please read the 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning. This is Anna S. from New York. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. I pass.
Thank you very much, Anna S. Appreciate that. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting and a smooth recording, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted with the star 1 key function only, please. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter, We Agnostics. We're on page 50. We're going to unpack paragraph two today, which starts with our personal stories and ends with each individual to settle for himself. And I'd like to ask Dana P. to please read that paragraph today and share her experience with it. Then we'll open it up to the rest of the folks here today. Hi, Dana.
Hi, Melanie. Thank you so much for your service, and what an honor. I love this chapter. You know, it's so funny. So I'm going to go ahead. In our personal stories, you will find a wide variation in the way each teller approaches and conceives of the power which is greater than himself. Whether we agree with a particular approach or conception seems to make little difference. Experience has taught us that these are matters about which, for our purpose, we need not be worried. They are questions for each individual to settle for himself. Yeah, hi, Dana P., compulsive overeater in California. What a relief. You know, that was such a relief for me. And I read this paragraph a few times over this morning, and right before I read it again, I was reading it, and I'm just in such awe. I believed that, that my idea was what needed to be shared with the world, because I had all this great wisdom about what God was. And not only that, but what God was for me. And, you know, people maybe have heard me share about my beloved master and how that works for me in my life, and how my life is so amazing and beautiful as I begin to work this program and as I continue to work this program. But the truth is, it's really not for me to say. It's not for me to tell another person, nor does another person really need to know. I think that for myself, I was so busy looking outside trying to find out, you know, what worked for other people that I missed that opportunity to develop my personal experience, my intimate relationship with my beloved. And, you know, the people in the back of the book, you know, we're talking about all these stories in the back of the book, which are wonderful and beautiful and inspires hope, especially for the newcomers, but also inspires hope in me that anyone can recover, including myself. But one person's experience is not my experience. I think ultimately we're all like the individual drop in the ocean of higher power, whatever that is. I choose to call the penultimate God. But, you know, the word God, if you spell it backwards, is dog. So maybe, you know, God is a dog. I don't know. It's not my business to say, and it's not my business even to share that unless another person is interested. So what a huge relief that each person can develop their own conception, that I don't have to be the one, you know, and there's I think I know. Well, what I found in this program, working these steps, and talking to my higher power and listening to my higher power, is that I really know very little. So I'm so excited to hear what other people have, each individual, and how they've settled that for themselves or not. So thank you so much for the opportunity to be of service, and I'll pass.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that very much. So I'd like to now open it up for additional comments on paragraph 2, page 50 of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. Although we value your experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience as well. If you give me your first name, the first initial of your last name, and perhaps your state, I'd love to take a list to start out this morning sharing on this particular paragraph.
Donna B.
Hi, good morning, Donna.
Kara L.
Kara L.
Patricia.
Did I hear somebody else?
Ann M. Patricia Ann M.
Patricia Ann, okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Well, let's start with those three. Donna B., Kara L., and Patricia Ann. Good morning, Donna. You're first.
Good morning, Mel. This is Donna B. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic calling from Denver, and my name is spelled D-A-N-A. The word that popped out to me in this paragraph as really significant and meaningful to me is the word experience. And I think one of the things that makes taking the actions of the 12 steps different from reading the book like a self-help book is the action that I need to take on a daily basis. And through that action, I'm bound to have an experience. So it doesn't really matter what concept or knowledge or information I may or may not have about a concept of a higher power, but in doing the action of the program of recovery, I have had an experience of a higher power doing for me what I cannot do for myself. And that most basic experience of God working in my life was getting on my knees every morning and asking God to keep me sober and abstinent. And all throughout the day, anytime I thought about food or weight or exercise, I would ask God to relieve me of the obsession with food, with my body image, with exercise. And if I went to bed at night on my knees and was able to say, "Thank you, God, for keeping me sober and abstinent today," I had an experience of God doing for me what I cannot do for myself. And that was just the beginning of my experience of God, and it has grown since then. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Donna. It's Donna B. from Colorado. Kara L., California, is up next, and then Patricia Ann will follow, and then we'll open it up for additional comments. Maybe you're warmed up by now. And so we're setting on page 50, paragraph 2 today. Hey, Kara.
Good morning. Hi, my fellows. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. I really like how it says, in our personal stories, you'll find a wide variation in the way each teller approaches and conceives the power, which is greater than himself. And for me, you know, that helps me. That's good. It speaks of hope for me. It helps me identify in to this book, to identify in. Even these stories, you know, they, one thing we learn is that if you read the beginning, that they change the stories in the back. The first 164 don't change pages, but the back do. And that helps me identify in because I see my story back there. And I say, you know, if this worked for them, it can work for me too. And that I can have a personal relationship with my higher power. You know, I know that I had a hard time with that concept, having a personal relationship that my higher power would be involved in my life to the small degrees of everything in my life. And today, that's the gift I have for through working these steps, through staying in this book, through being of service. You know, I have that gift, is that I have a higher power today that is, it is in my life in a personal, in a very, very personal way. And I ask my higher power, you know, my higher power's opinion on everything, you know, and just do this day. Sometimes I get up in the morning, I'm like overwhelmed with things I need to do. And I just say, God, you know, whatever you need me to do in this day, please just put it into line and order. And I will do my best. You know, I will follow your will to the best of my ability today. You know, and now when I come up against something and I think I need to fix it or solve it, I just say, God, you know, give me intuitive thought, inspiration, or decision. You know, how do you need this to look for me to be best of service to you and to my fellows and to my family and to my friends? And it's such an much easier way to live today, knowing that I don't have to have the answers. And so I'm really excited for us to read and hear from everybody else. Thank you so much, and I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Kara L. Now we have Patricia Ann M. who's going to share for 3 minutes. And then after that, the opportunity to open up to the rest
thank
of
you.
The folks here to be able to share in that paragraph. Hey, Patricia Ann.
Yes, thank you. Yes, I love this whole thing about just learning the difference between me and you, or me and anybody. The way I was raised, I wasn't allowed to have anything different. Everything had to be, I had to think like them and behave like them, and if I didn't, there was something wrong with me. So with that belief system, it was very hard for me to accept other people the way they were and accept myself the way I was. I didn't get it. You know, and I got it now. I have it now, thank God. And I'm learning that that how I approach my higher power is my business. It's my business and it's my journey. And not everybody has the same way of doing it, period. Doesn't mean my relationship's any better or not, but I don't have to do what other people do. See, I thought I did, and I'm like, I can't do that. I can't spend an hour in prayer. What in the world? I can't do that. I can't do this. I can't. It's not in me to, you know, all these different things that people do and told me to do so I could develop my relationship. And I don't know. For me, I'm learning that my relationship has to come from within, and as I continue praying and asking my higher power, how do I do this, God? How do I have a relationship with you? How do I be still? You know, because I was in high gear all my whole life. How do I be still? You know, turning my will and my life over in step 3, what does that mean? And what do I do now with that? You know,
But as I live one day at a time, and as I turn my life over one day at a time, and as I do my program and focus, things are opening up for me that I'm not creating. Things are happening that's just coming. I used to think I had to make everything happen, and I'm learning that I need to let my higher power guide me, because my thinking is not good. It's getting better. I'm going to say that. It's getting better. Anyways, with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Patricia Ann. So we're now open now for other additional people to comment on the paragraph. Paragraph 2, page 50 of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. If you haven't shared in the last 2 or 3 days, we'd love to be able to hear from you this morning. That means if you didn't share on Friday or Monday, then actually tomorrow would be your day to share. Can you give me your first name, the first initial of your last name? Take it down a list again.
This is Audrey MP. If I can be heard, I'd like to share.
You can now, for sure. Hi.
Hi.
Next up.
Janice K.
Janice K.
Aura R.
I'm sorry, somebody W that I just missed.
That was Rosie W.
Aura
Rosie
R.
W. Would you spell that for me?
Of course, R-O-S-I-E.
Oh, Rosie W. Okay, gotcha.
Ann H.
Aura.
And I got Aura, and then I got Ann H. Anybody else this morning? Okay, let's go with that lineup. We have Audrey M.P., Janice K., Rosie W., Aura R., and Ann H. Okay, Audrey, here you go.
Okay, let's give it a whirl. Audrey M.P. from Southern California. Grateful, recovering, compulsive overeater. I'm working towards entire abstinence, and I'm so close. I'm so close to my 30-day mark. In this reading, what I appreciate about vision and doing the 12 steps in vision with a vision sponsor, you know, we pretty much read the book line by line. And we only read the 164 pages, so we didn't read the personal stories. But in talking to other compulsive overeaters about their abstinence, about their entire abstinence, about their relationship with their nutritionist, it all comes down to their relationship with their higher power and how they see their abstinence entire or recovered, right? And so the one thing I appreciate, I've been I've 27 years of abstinence from my bulimia, and I'm really grateful to my higher power for that. But it says, now I'm going to back up a little bit on page 45, well, that's exactly what this book is about. Its main object is to enable you to find a power greater than yourself, which will solve your problem. And my sponsor shared with me, this is the thesis of the Big Book. This is the thesis, and I'm in my 60s. I'm going back to school. I understand what a thesis is, and it really opened my eyes that that's all I need is a higher power. And you know, my experience has taught me that matters, so many matters need not be worried. And I love that I can give a 10th step. I love that I don't have to pick up. I love that my recovery is getting bigger and better and cleaner. I might have to do a 10 step on a 12 Max Pro that doesn't work in my apartment. And bigger isn't necessarily better. But, you know, I have to settle this cell phone thing for myself, because this is my connection. This is my connection to my greatest good. And I want to be abstinent today. And I wish a beautiful abstinent day for all of you. And I pass. Thank you, Melanie.
Thank you very much. Audrey MP from California. Janice K, you're up next. What state are you from?
Hi, this is Janice Kay. Is it my turn?
It is. Good morning to you.
Okay, I am calling from Oregon. This is our permission to have a non-traditional higher power. And I took a moment. There are a couple of places in the stories that, because of the speaker's personality and stance, occasionally come out really, really dogmatic. So I took a moment and I went to one of those pages and I wrote down this page and paragraph number because it is, God is determined largely by our cultural background and our family upbringing. A lot of times that's where we go. I went with a certain kind of theology because it was my background, it was my community, it was easy, and it explained things well. But this is permission to explore a higher power. If you are struggling with a higher power, this is your permission to have any higher power you want. Anything that works for you is good. My own belief is that God moves beyond pronouns. He's not he. You know, you've got to have one until we advance to the point that we have a pronoun for God that's specific to him, her, it, them. Most of us are stuck with he as an option. But God is beyond pronouns. So if you have a non-traditional higher power, consider this your permission to explore non-tradition, and I would love to hear from you. Once in a while, we get proclaimed atheists or agnostics in our meetings, my local meetings, and all I can do is go back to this paragraph and say, you know, I respect your right to any kind of higher power you want to have. But I can only share experience with the one I know. So that's what I have to say. Thank you so much for listening, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Janice Kay from Oregon. Next up today, we have Rosie W., and then after Rosie will be Aura. Hi, Rosie.
Hi, can I be heard?
Yes.
Wonderful, thank you. I'm Rosie, compulsive overeater in the UK. Thank you for everyone doing service on this meeting today. What I love about this paragraph is that it reminds me that I'm in a program of many, a program of we. In our personal stories, we find a wide variation. Experience has taught us. These are questions for each individual. All of these words and phrases tell me that I'm not alone. And until I arrived in these rooms 11 years ago, I had spent my entire life feeling that I was alone. But of course, once I began to learn about how this program worked, I once again sort of decided that I was alone because I was an atheist and obviously it wasn't going to work for me. But what was wonderful was that people took my number. People wanted to talk to me. And I argued with them about God and about higher powers. And after a while, I began to listen because I was getting so many different conceptions of a higher power. And more importantly, so many different ways of approaching a higher power, which for me, for whatever reason, was also really important. You know, when I'm struggling with anything today, I know that the answer is God and the steps, that there isn't another solution. You know, that there's no tool, there's no person that can fix any of this stuff for me. It's God and the steps. But what I can't always do is access my higher power when I'm in an intense emotional space. Or when it's a really cunning, baffling or powerful old behaviour that's coming up. And so what's extraordinary about what we get here in these rooms is fellowship. I get to call on any number of people and say, how do you go to your higher power with this? How do you use the 12 steps with this? And there's always something that will work for me. And my sponsor added me recently to a group of women who are, you know, working this program in very similar circumstances to me. And it's just such a blessing. I'm learning so much from them and the different ways that they go to their higher powers and work the 12 steps around the things that come up in their own lives. I just feel profoundly grateful and lucky today, just so lucky to not be in this on my own, just me and the food and my insane thoughts. I never have to be there again. And I came in when I was 30. I have the rest of my life ahead of me in a fellowship. I couldn't really ask for more. I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very, very much. Appreciate that. Rosie W. from the UK. Next up is Aura R. from California, and then Anne H. will follow Aura. Good morning, Aura.
Thank you. I'm Aura R. from California. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I am 52 days abstinent today, which is a lot of gratitude for that today. My path to a higher power, this, you know, when you talked about this chapter, I liked the how each person approaches and conceives. And I appreciated those in the rooms who shared their experience with their journey, because it gave me permission. It gave me permission to take my own journey. And when I first came into the rooms, the word God, I wanted to jump out of my seat and leave because of my own resentment and experience with organized religion as a child and how it was used as a kind of a battering ram and this bar to beat people over the head with if you weren't perfect. And then someone in the rooms mentioned good orderly direction. They gave me an alternative. You know, I've heard, great outdoors. I've heard other experiences, gift of desperation. But good orderly direction was something that I could cling to, and I could sit in my seat so that I could open my ears up and hear. Good orderly direction for me was following the steps. And following the steps just looked like a path, you know, and that's evolved, you know, it's evolved for me. It's evolved into, you know, keeping an open mind when I went into a Native American sweat lodge and experienced that loving, compassionate protection of a power greater than myself. And I find if I listen for God's will, that those resentments I had from childhood are gone. If I keep my ears open and I get quiet, whether it's in meditation or in prayer, that it blocks my will from my thoughts. And I can open my mind and my heart up to receiving God's will for me and to follow that on my path. And that's how I get through my day to day. You know, and sometimes it's those, you know, quick check-ins, you know, it's, you know, am I following God's will in this, you know, asking God to keep my mind open today. So thank you. And thank everybody for sharing their experience today. And I pass.
Thank you, Aura R. from California. And H, you're up for three. And then we're probably going to be able to open it up for a few more comments. Paragraph
Good
two.
Hang
on just 1 second, please. We're going to be sharing on paragraph two, page 50 of the big book in the chapter, We Agnostics, and it begins within our personal story. So right after Anne's 3 minutes, I'm going to open it up. It looks like we probably have two or three more. Sorry about stepping on your toes, Anne. It is yours now.
No problem. Thank you. Thank you for being of service. My name is Anne H., and I am a grateful compulsive overeater and a recovered bulimic. My journey and my path to God and my higher power was definitely not linear. And I, for the first time in I would say decades, I have finally surrendered to God. And with what was read today and what I have heard other people share is that the journey is different for everyone. I know personally myself, I grew up in a Catholic, I wouldn't say I grew up in a Catholic home, but my parents took us to church because they, culturally speaking, Mexican culture, you know, that is a religion that is just a part of the culture, is Catholicism. And so they were just doing what was expected. However, it almost felt like when I was in those, sitting in the pews, you know, of church, the message would go in the ear and out the other. And I would just be distracted with, you know, looking at the different stained glass ceilings or, you know, all the different items and ornaments in the church, but I was not listening to the message. And so my concept of God really was inexistent. It was fearful. And so I first came into OA and, you know, I'd hear other people talk about God, but I didn't really understand. And so it wasn't until, I'd say, the last couple of weeks where I just finally said, yeah, you're right. This program does work, and people do, you know, get joyous, happy, and free from their addictions, but not from, you know, human aid, beyond human aid, and that is God concept, whatever that is to me, to each other, to each person. And so I for the first time can say that I have a relationship with God that has always been there. It's always been there. But for the first time through being abstinent, I'm able to like see and remove the veil that was the food, was the addiction, was the codependency, the addictive thoughts, the crazy thinking.
That's time.
Just thank you for letting me share. Thank you.
Thank you, Anne H. from California. Who else would like to comment on paragraph 2, page 50?
Elena C.
Elena C. Okay, Anne, go ahead for your three. Oh, I hear Kathy what?
Catherine N.
Catherine N. Okay.
And
what?
B.
B. Okay, great. That's probably take us in to the end. Okay, so Elena C, Catherine N, and Anne B. Hi, Elena. It's your turn.
Hi, good morning. This is Elena C, a gratefully recovered compulsive overeater from Greenville, South Carolina. Your comments were amazing, and I don't know if I'm going to add something important here, but what I hear in this paragraph, I hear diversity, and, you know, it's our human nature that we don't like diversity. We just like to connect with people who are similar to us, and I know that, but we do share something in common. However, this notion, this conception of the God of our understanding is not one. The God of my understanding, and when I was little, was their God of understanding, which was the man with a white beard who pointed his finger to me and looked down on me and whom I feared. And, you know, somehow I did not, that did not feel right to me from the very beginning. Like, the rest of my family has come to embrace that, and that's what they're using today, and that's okay. I no longer have a judgment about that because I used to. I no longer have a judgment about that. And, you know, and so God can be a lot of things,
And I heard in the meeting that for one person first, it was Santa Claus, you know. But it made a lot of sense because as long as it's a power, like the paragraph said, it's a power that's greater than myself. As long as it's not me, but it's something that's greater than me, that's, it doesn't matter what it is. And I don't hear people in this rooms or in other meetings I attend to talking about what God is. They talk about their experience with God. So their awakenings, you know, their growth, their spiritual connection, their conscious contact. And that's all I hear, you know. And so God can remain a mystery. But all I know today is that I have those experiences. I have them. And, you know, I woke up this morning and I was like kind of grumpy. And this meeting has kind of opening, like kind of got me out of my bubble. And sharing also gets me out of my bubble. For some reason, sharing is getting me in conscious contact and getting me happier for the day. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Elena C. from South Carolina. Catherine N. from Virginia. You're next for three, and then Ann B. will follow you.
Hi, Catherine N. from Virginia. Glad to be at the meeting, and everybody's doing service, and everyone has shared. This is a great paragraph. I'm a compulsive overeater, flower sugar addict. I like where it says that, you know, what everybody's, whatever people's belief is, we don't have to agree with, you know, other people's conception of their higher power. And that is just so refreshing to me because, you know, I've been around and I was like Bill, you know, and had a lot of prejudice against, you know, organized religion and people telling me what I should believe. And I just love how, you know, in OA, the, you know, it's really left up to everyone, left up to each person to decide, you know, how their higher power, you know, manifests itself in their lives. And to find this power that, you know, that I can rely on. And sometimes that's my biggest challenge is to actually, like someone else here, be able to access the power. I mean, I know there's a power greater than me, and I know that power is working in my life because I've seen it over the years. It's just, you know, the trust is just so important. And I just, you know, I'm grateful for the times when I can feel that presence in my life and can rely on it and can be open-minded to everyone else's conception of their higher power. And I don't need to, you know, be the arbiter of, you know, how someone else should believe. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Catherine. And next up, and probably the last person to share today, will be Ann B. from New York. We'll see what time says. Hi, Ann.
Hi. This is Ann B. from New York. I'm a compulsive overeater. I don't like the word recovered, but I have been for 16 years. And, you know, this business of defining higher power for oneself, you know, I have grew up in a kind of a tolerant environment where I was given permission to imagine higher power as I wished, and I did. But it's been, you know, as a sponsor, enormously frustrating to me to try to communicate this to sponsees because I can't reach inside their heads the way if I were teaching them yoga, I could move their arms or legs or something into a position. I can't reach inside their heads to show them that the barrier isn't as high to jump over as they imagine. Because, you know, the things that work for me often don't work for other people. And I had, you know, like early in program, I was doing what I called my tsunami meditation, and where in which I envision my higher power, whom I choose to call Shiva, as a giant tsunami, and I would sit on the beach, and the giant tsunami would come and destroy me so that I could be made anew, and then I could ride on the surfboard on the tsunami afterwards. And that meditation was very helpful to me, and they tell other people that, and they kind of cringe on it, doesn't work for them. and I, you know, and there's this huge people-pleasing aspect to this. I find that, you know, there are people in my life who are very, very sure that they know what name God wants to be called, and they know what God is like, and I feel that I have to be able to be comfortable with not knowing, with not being certain, and because I don't feel what I can know, and for me, it's so difficult being uncertain in the face of somebody who is certain. And that whole people-pleasing aspect is to me so central to a lot of program. You know, the whole, I made this dessert specially for you, you have to eat it. It's like the first people-pleasing thing one has to deal with in program. And I made this higher power, which you have to take as your higher power, is another people-pleasing thing that one has to do, deal with early in program. And this business of my relationship with my higher power has to be strong enough that I don't make other people into higher power.
Fine.
That they're okay. So I'll pass.
Thank you so much. Hey, and looks like time would allow for a 90-second share this morning. Is anyone interested in that?
Hi, this is Marissa P. I'd like to share from California.
Did you say Marissa?
Marissa, yes.
Marissa P. like Paul?
Yes.
Great, California. I'd love to have you share. It's on. You're it.
Actually, it's R. P is my maiden name that just came out. Anyway,
oh,
nonetheless,
okay.
I'm grateful to be here. Yeah, I'd like to share, please. You know, for me, my experience has been that even though I too was raised in a certain denomination, there is some agnosticism in me every day. I had a fellow share with me one time, you know, my sponsor wants me to get on my knees, you know, and I'm having a really hard time doing that. Well, I find that every time I have a fear, I find that multiple times a day, you know, if I struggle with the foods because I consider myself a chronic relapser, or if I have the desire, you know what I mean, if something's calling my name and, you know, I'm sitting there trying to figure this out in my head, sometimes it doesn't occur to me to pray. Sometimes it doesn't occur to me to call a fellow. You know, when I'm in myself, I am practicing, you know, agnosticism. I personally think that it doesn't matter. You know, my name is Maritza. My nickname is Mitzi. If somebody calls me Mitzi, I am Mitzi. I am Maritza. I am Mom. I am, you know, whatever you want to call him, she, it, whatever. God is loving, God accepts me, God wants nothing the best for me, for my fellow, you know. I choose to be willing to not block him, her, you know, in my life, or to ask for that willingness, because as I pray the set-aside prayer...
Time.
Yes, thank you. I just would like to break any conception, you know, of that and be open to what he would have me be. Thank you. Thank you for your service and for everyone who's on the line.
Thank you, Marissa R. from California. Glad that you were able to come in and share. We're going to start the process of closing out the recorded portion of our meeting, and then we'll continue on. So please stay with us for the last 10 minutes of the unrecorded hour as well. But in the meantime, I would like to ask Leslie M., to please read from page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Thank you, Melanie C., for your service. I am Leslie M., a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you